morning. We have a forum. We will start with prayer.
Father, we thank you for this time that you've set aside for us to discuss the business of this city. Help us to do the things that are right and guided by your principles, Father. We ask that you watch over us. Thank you for what you've done, what you've kept from us. We ask these things in thy name.
Amen.
Attention to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us recite the Texas pledge.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you for being here today. We have a forum and didn't do the post-it. We'll go to item number 4, approved minutes of June the 1st. Y'all had a chance to look at them, read them. Any corrections, objections? Have a motion to accept. So moved. Have a second. Have a motion and a second. Accept. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Item number 5, conduct public hearing to review the minor curfew ordinance to determine the effects on the community and on problems the ordinance was intended to remedy and the need to continue ordinance. State law requires that the governing body shall review the juvenile curfew ordinance before the third anniversary of the date of adoption and every third year thereafter in order to determine its effect on the community and problems the ordinance was intended to remedy. The governing body shall also conduct a public hearing on the need to continue the ordinance. I guess we go into public hearing at 7:35. If there's anyone that would like to address this, you may come forward. It's 7:36 and no one has come forward. We're coming out of the public hearing. Item number 6, consider abolishing, continuing, or modifying the minor curfew ordinance. After review, state law requires that the governing body consider abolishing, continuing, or modifying the minor curfew ordinance. Anyone have any ideas or...
I have a question.
Well,
section 1277, curfew is established from 12 to 5 and then from 12 to 5:30 and 1 to 5:30. Why the difference? Well, I understand. Yeah, but what difference does it make?
Football games, right?
Yeah, it's been, or they're coming in late from a ball game. Sometimes it is going to be over. I think a lot of this is going to fly with common sense events and things that are going on. So, and those are the hours that we kind of give and take throughout the year. So, and things have not changed as far as that goes.
Do you think that needs to be changed or anything, or leave?
I hold people for this, and you know, you're always going to want things to be tighter or not, and then it just, but they all seem they're okay with the hours that we've had.
Who's they?
Well, just some of us are officers, schools. Because, you know, that coming back from ballgame, as they're traveling, some of these kids, you know, don't have rides. They're walking home.
Yeah, but those aren't the kids that I'm worried about.
Well, but I understand that, but we have their kids, just want to say common sense plays in this, so who we're looking at and time. Time, place, and all that, events, all things think take play into this. So if you got somebody walking down the alley at those hours, yeah, that's a whole different story compared to. But this eliminates somebody from trying to pursue something on someone that doesn't apply.
Any other questions?
Is there anything you would change, even with the
parental discipline or responsibility would change it.
We do have a, this is what we do, you know, and this has always been a concern where we have a lack of parental supervision. So then we'll go, we bring kids in, then we call the parents, and then that's when we, you know, a lot of things come out of these events, like you're saying, where we bring somebody in, three kids out walking around, they all saying they're all sleeping over somebody's house. You know how that goes, and they're out roaming. You know, this is what things get out of hand. You know, they seem as innocent as it could be, go egging a house or a car. It's there's damage involved or any other thing. So in this kind of helps us, but also there's some good kids out there too that are gonna be again try to keep them, you know, with parental supervision. This all takes in place. Like I said, we bring the kids in, the parents are notified, they come in, and we release them back to either guardian or parent. And sometimes we have issued citations to the parents for lack of parental supervision. The only you asked me about, I also have talked about the parks, closing the parks. I know Lovell closes their parks. Something to look at, but, you know, I want to get with Scott now. Again, they're not, you got kids out there playing ball. And when we're saying we don't give kids anything to do, if they're out there playing basketball and we close them, then we're shooting ourselves on the foot again. So
yeah, but you're closing at 12, right?
Yeah, well, depending on what time. That's for, I guess, the council to decide if that's what they want to do.
The ones that concern me are the ones that park way off on the south end down there in the car.
Yes.
I don't think the ones playing basketball under all the bright lights is too much to worry about.
There again, goes back to...
Now, getting them home from there to wherever they're headed, that might be a different story. But the park itself, it's the ones that park way off in the north end or out around the armory or...
So anybody
want to
change anything?
Do you recommend any changes?
Not at this. I think then we'll talk about parks later. This is only based on curfew. So and we'll talk. We might bring up the parks later. I'll get with Scott and Eldon.
Yeah, let's do that. There's some things I'd like to see us change it too.
That'd be good.
I think our officers monitor well the park and stuff. It hasn't been a problem. Because I think we would have heard if it would have been a problem.
Yeah, you know, it's summertime. These kids are up late into the night. I know they're probably going to be in bed asleep or something, but I'll tell you, just to me, in some instances, if they're out there playing ball or something, a good thing. They're exercising, they're playing ball. I've seen them in some communities, they're hopefully playing softball into the night or something.
They're too tired to cause any mischief by the time we get home.
But I understand. There are parts of the parks, that like the kiddie park. You have criminal mischief going on, and then that's costing the city money, and it's nothing good's coming out of it. At 4 o'clock at night at the kiddie park,
that's where I think it's the big problem, because I'm going by there all the time and they're having fixed stuff there.
Yes. Oh yeah. And it is kids maybe, but still it's mischief. Nobody's there to see them. It's dark or. Different from the Coleman part, but yeah, you have the one over there on Cactus, same thing. They're out there at night. And,
Do we not have lighting at the kiddie park?
You have some, but you know, you have dark spots there. And some of this damage can be done in wide open areas. No one's driving by. So, and I know these guys really work hard and keep maintaining it. And, you know, we hear those calls of us responding out there, but down at the park, we haven't had any major stuff go on yet.
And that may be something we have to address in the budget, maybe get some cameras out there, stuff like that.
Okay. I do ask if we just keep it the same.
Yeah.
Tony, with the recent legislature looking at changing the definition of the juvenile versus adult, would that have changed this, the age in here?
Those ages right there, you know, the 16, 17, that's something that we want to look at, but I think we're good on that, on where we're at, as far as the city, as far as the ordinance. difference, I guess, what penal code law is compared to...
Currently 17 is actually the right in the penal code.
Lena, is there anything?
No, we know it says under age 17, so...
So there's no action needed?
Well, we have to still...
No, we have to vote it.
Oh, they approve it for the...
Continue.
For the next 3 years.
Continue for the next 3 years.
This is an action item needed. That would be to continue as is for the next 3 years.
Make the motion, we approve it as read.
Second?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 7, consider approval of the payment from Eddie Holloway, CPA, to conduct an audit of the financial statements of the city of Brownsville for the fiscal year September 30th, 2017. Eddie has done our audit for the last 2-3 years, and we've done a great job, and we'd like to continue it. This is a motion item. Any discussion? Have a motion? Accept all, any other?
I'll make a motion to accept.
Have a second?
Second.
And a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, passes. Hear briefing from Representative Parkhill, Smith and Cooper, Inc., on the design, engineering, and construction of the new fire facility, and take any action necessary. The local budget includes funds for the design, engineering, phase one of construction of the planned fire facility that was located adjacent to the waste station on East Broadway. The total estimate cost set aside in the budget equals $375,000. PSC has been working with the chief, and they're here to just talk to us about it. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bill Noonan with Parkhill Smith and Cooper.
This is
Chandler Cook. He's an architect with Parkhill Smith and Cooper, and he's going to be presenting the material to you today. I appreciate the opportunity to be before you again. And what we're going to do today is give you a briefing on the design of the fire station, and then we'll update you on our current costs estimates for the construction.
Can everybody see this well? Do y'all want to come over here? Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So I'm going to let Chandler.
Tony asked me, this is the line we need all.
Yeah, both parts.
I'm going to let Chandler give you the presentation on the design and the numbers, and then if you have any additional questions, Chandler and I will be happy to answer them at the end of the presentation. If you have anything during the presentation, don't hesitate to ask then as well. So I'll turn this over to Chandler.
Good morning. Thank you for having us here. This is just an overall rendering, just kind of showing the elevation of the proposed fire station with the adjacent police department next door. Here's just a site plan showing that we're extending, of course, to the west of the existing police station. You can see here we'll be adding the northern drive there, so that way the fire department can either have a pull through.
Arrow down there, bottom right, pointing north.
Yes.
That is correct. So this would be north and west.
On the south
and Main Street
on the north.
Yes. Right now there's a drive forward here from the police department. We'd be just extending that into the apparatus bay, and of course continuing that on to the north, so they have access to both of the main roads there. Looking at the floor plan, there's three main areas of the fire department. We have the apparatus bay with all the storage and facilities needed for the equipment. There'd be a laundry room for the people that are staying there. A living quarters, so the day room, the kitchen, pantry, as well as showers in the rooms, the dorm rooms. We had to create a egress path out of the existing building, the training facility, in order to have people come out of there instead of creating a dead-end corridor when people would be coming in here. So we took that to the south. As you can see here, This is just an extension of the exercise room there. And this would be the business, the administration. So we'd have the two offices, a conference room, records office, radio room, and then this would be the main entry lobby into the fire department. Looking at the elevation here, if you have any questions, I can go back to the floor plan as well. Just showing how, tying in the two buildings, continuing over datum lines over from the police department, carrying that over. Of course, the apparatus bay having to be higher, a higher volume for the trucks, so we pop that up.
Is the brick not going to be the same color on the front of the fire department as it is?
There is going to be one consistent color. As opposed to doing the many different colors of bricks, we're taking there's a main color. It's called an Arctic white. It's more of a gray color. That's on the bottom band, and it's on the majority of the building. We're taking that over and carrying that over. So there would be one color that's consistent, as well as.
So it won't be the same color design as the police department?
No, it'll be similar. And you'll be able to see that in a couple of these renderings here.
Oh, okay.
So the color that's on this, so it's more of like a field brick color, the lighter color that's on the police department right now, would be the field brick that's on the fire department. So there is that connection between the two. Another view here. So the field brick here and here is the same that's on this as well.
Okay, so you just won't have that tan off.
Correct.
Accent.
Yeah, I think there's four different colors of bricks on the fire department, or on the police department. And as far as the estimate, so the original OPC back in October 2016 was estimated 2.65. As we stand now, with everything, we're sitting at 2.654, so we're staying consistent. Bill, did you have?
Yeah, I just wanted to explain when we're looking at the, can you go back to the floor plan?
Absolutely.
So we've got the exercise room right here. This is an expansion of the existing exercise room, which is located right here now. What we learned was the exercise room is fairly tight, and we're going to now add the fire department to this building. So when we add police and fire trying to use that same room and at the same time, there's going to be limited capacity. So we've expanded that as an option for you. So when the plans go out to bid, the base bid will include all of the fire department requirements. This one piece right here will simply be an alternate, so that if it comes within the budget of 2.65 million, we can accept that and have it built, and you'll have that extra capacity that's necessary. If it's outside of the budget, you can simply elect not to take that alternate, and you can still get the entire fire department taken care of.
What's the approximate cost of the addition?
Do you know the square footage on that?
Of the exercise addition?
Yeah, just that piece.
It's about 150 square feet.
All right, so I'm going to...
Square feet doesn't mean anything to me.
I'm going to give you a number right now.
So,
140.
Yeah, I'm going to revise what I told you prior to the meeting. It's probably going to be around $50,000 for that addition, plus or minus. You know, the smaller size that you try to add, the cost goes up because it's just so small. But because we're doing it as an alternate to the bigger project, you're probably in the ballpark of about $50,000. It doesn't have any plumbing in it. It's really just the shell and electrical and flooring that's your main cost on that. The exterior component of it, you know, the majority of that cost is picked up by the bulk that you're buying for the main building. So you've got just a little added cost for the structure and the material on the exterior wall.
What's the square footage of the current exercise room?
It's probably about 220 or so square feet. Yeah.
Okay. Will the addition require additional training tables or exercise equipment?
Well, what it would allow you to do is put some additional equipment in here. You could put some additional bikes or whatever equipment is required.
So that's not furnished, that extra $50,000?
It does not include the equipment, no.
I think the my understanding was that there was too much equipment in the room.
In the current room.
And so the current room, that equipment would move out, like the free weights or whatever the case may be, and it would have more space.
You wouldn't be adding any
more space.
Yes.
You're just spreading it out.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, just giving more room so that way you can do a little bit more, because it's just too, there's too much equipment in the room right now, so this would just be moving out.
Big policemen in there, and firemen in there, they just...
It shrinks quickly, yeah. You got people running, and then you have someone trying to do weights, and you're stepping over each other trying to get to the equipment, so it's a little tight. So yeah, all that equipment would move.
Okay.
So there would not be any equipment cost.
Can Bill go back to that blue area that's shaped like an L to the left of the...
Right here.
When the previous plan I had given to the council, that consisted of a laundry room, a radio room, and a conference room. Is that not...
Those are all still here. We eliminated the laundry room that was inside the building here, and it's now located right here.
Okay, so we don't have two laundry rooms.
We had two, we've gone back to just one.
That's what I'm saying, we don't have one.
We don't have two laundry.
That is correct.
There's two on these plans that we have.
That is correct, yes. We've eliminated one laundry room. Okay. The conference room is now right here, so it's still here, and we relocated the radio room right here, so that we still have access to the day room, which is what they wanted, but we now get some natural light into the radio room. And we did this because in our analysis, code-wise on the project, the police department part of the building is not sprinkled. So we have a restriction of how much dead-end corridor we can have. Now, without the fire station here, we had an exit right here, but we're blocking that with the fire department. So now the travel distance from this corner right here down to this wall is more than 20 feet. So it exceeds what the code is going to allow us to have as a dead-end corridor. So we had to find a way to get this corridor shortened or to find a way to get out of the building. Well, because I have restrooms right here, I can't just simply put a wall right here. I still have a corridor that's back here. Trying to put a wall right here past this door into the training room still wouldn't give me 20 feet. I was still over it. So we looked at some options of putting a hallway out here along the dorm or coming out this way. And this was the more economical and most efficient way to get that
hallway.
In. That is strictly an egress hallway only. It has no access into the fire department. It goes straight to the exterior right here. Now, you can still get from this corridor to the fire department through this door.
Yeah.
And all we're going to do is utilize the existing door opening that we have here and then create a new door right there that allows some security.
There's an outside door currently.
There's an outside door currently right here. This will now just become a secure interior door for the fire department.
Okay.
But this now becomes our egress point for anybody that's in the training room or the police department that comes down this hallway.
Okay, are you going to create additional parking, or are we going to use the existing parking lot?
The existing parking. We're not changing any parking on this project at all.
Yeah. Tony, is that going to be adequate?
Not sure. On the pulling out, I can see. On what area is that going to be?
On the back, on the north.
This is the north parking right now. This is your north drive. This is your public parking.
You're not taking away any parking.
Yeah, I'm not eliminating any parking.
I understand that.
But we're not adding parking.
Two or three cars a night to the parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd probably have 3 to 4 cars maximum at the fire department that would be there while they're...
And the west side of the front parking lot is empty.
I noticed on
all the time.
On training, that thing fills up pretty
good. On training day, yeah.
Okay.
What's the square footage of the kitchen, or what? Is the kitchen really necessary?
This kitchen right here?
Yeah.
Since it's a 24-hour use, yeah, it's kind of necessary for the folks that are staying there. They can't really leave easily to go have a meal, so this allows them to stay right where they can respond.
Well, that's my question, because they eat out 3 meals a day. That's the reason I'm asking Dennis. What I'm asking is, if you eliminate the kitchen, is there something else we could put in the building that you need worse?
No, we need the kitchen. We do eat out a lot, but we also cook a lot. But that space, really nothing else you can use that space for. That's what you're asking. But we do need to have a kitchen here.
How many, you got six dorm rooms, we have six people on at a time?
Right.
No, right now we have two on at a time.
Two on at a time?
Yeah. I expanded the dorm rooms in case later date we decide to hire more people. So you might as well build, if you're building, build for expansion, you know, you don't want to build too small to start with. 5 years from now, you're going to mess too small.
So basically, they get their own bed and then.
Right, I just made where everybody will have their own room, basically.
Oh, okay, but we only have two people spending the night there.
Right.
We're looking for 12 people.
Right.
We're going to expand that much?
Well, we have eight full-time people who spend the night one time. What I was trying to do is get everyone their own bedroom. And then if we do expand personnel, we're going to need to add space. So maybe we're going to be enough to put two beds in just for future expansion.
We have eight people on duty at night right now, you said?
No, two. We have eight paid firefighters.
Yes.
Who spend the night in different shifts. But at night, we only
have. Oh, you don't want them sharing rooms and there's changing shifts. I got you.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to get everybody.
You basically, you're giving them their own bed.
Yes.
And that's there. We take care
well,
of that.
The way we're doing it now is we're having to swap.
Yeah.
Beds and stuff every shift. So, yeah. You know, it's just.
You don't want to be more clean. Warm bed things.
Yeah. This was the basis of the design back in 2009. So when we first looked at the master plan for the entire facility, this was basically what this building looked like. It has the design has been tweaked a little bit as we visited with the chief this year, but there hasn't been a major change from when we looked at this back in 2009.
Well, let me ask this, I just don't remember the numbers, but the original estimate was how much?
Back in 2009, our cost per square foot was much lower because it was kind of right at that oil boom phase. And then once that market changed, the dollar per square foot went through the roof. So we were probably at about 1.9 originally in that range. And we've gone up $1 million since 2009 in construction costs. And that's just how the market is today. The cost per square foot has gone since then has gone through the roof. Now it's come back down, but we're still seeing numbers that put this at the 2.65, right in that range. That's where we're estimating this is going to come in.
What's the difference in the design of the building from 2009 till today?
In talking with the chief, you know, we've tweaked some of the spaces over here for the storage and gotten into more of the specifics. Back when we were doing master planning, we had just a basic list of spaces that we needed. So we budgeted square foot for it. Once we sit down and actually go through some programming efforts, which is what we did first with the chief, then we started to talk about, you know, exactly what do you need in your laundry room? What do you need in your air tank room? What do you need in your exercise or your equipment storage rooms? You know, what did you specifically want to do in your dorm rooms? And that's when we decided with the chief, from his direction, that he wanted to do the individual beds. So that changes a little bit. I think we may have added two dorm rooms from the original design, but it wasn't a major change. We talked to him specifically about how he wanted the office to be laid out, you know, that he needed the conference room really to be off the main hallway versus off the day room, but the radio room needed specific contact with that. Those are the kind of things that we talked about that were
so
much
the
more specific.
Overall square footage is pretty much.
It's very close. I think back in 2009 we had about 8,300 square feet and we're sitting at 8,500. Yes. We've grown about 200 square foot. Now some of that you can see is this corridor that was code driven.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, this little exercise room again, that's something that we didn't know about at the time. Now that they've been in it for a while and they realize that there's kind of cramped space with the equipment, we looked at that option to put that right here and expand that. So that wasn't something that was included either, but hopefully as an alternate, we'll be able to get that to fit in as well and come within budget.
Okay, if we have one fireman per room, why do we have two beds?
That's what I asked.
This was simply the direction the chief wanted to make sure that he had a single bed for each of the department staff that he has now, which was 8, and he wanted a little room for expansion. So the 2 extra rooms that we put on, that's the 4 extra beds that gets you to 12.
No, that's not answering my question.
The question is for Dennis, I guess.
Yeah, if you only have 1 person per room, why 2 beds?
Well, we're gonna share those rooms. We have 8 paid people on duty. What I was trying to do is give everybody their own bed.
Not the room, then. Just everybody gets their own bed.
Right.
Okay.
So we have 8 different rooms, but that's basically, I built that for expansion. And I have put 2 beds per room.
So we have 16.
We're taking 8 spots, you know. But right now, you know, basically, everybody can have their own
6
room.
Rooms. No, there's 6 rooms.
6 rooms, yeah, he said 8.
Yeah, he did. No, yeah, 8 rooms.
2, 4, 6, yeah, we got 6 rooms.
I'm trying to understand it, too.
6 rooms, 12 beds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
so
got 8 personnel right now. They're leaving me 4 extra beds.
The intent was that the 2 that are on staff, they would each have a room with a bed. Now, if the shift changes, there are going to be 2 new people. Now, they might take the second bed that's in these 2 rooms, or they might have, this might be their bed, and this might be their bed. But of the 8 that you have now, you know, they could easily take these 4 rooms, and each of the 8 would have their own bed.
2 rooms are going to have people sharing rooms, and 1 room is going to be an individual in each room.
Right. Now, there's the potential that on 1 shift, these 2 beds are the 2 that are taken, and only 1 room is being used. But the point was that of the 8 staff, they would each have their own individual bed, they'd have their own individual locker. That was the intent.
Right.
And then there was just these 2 extra rooms where we had the 4 additional beds for expansion.
Right.
You may not need to furnish these today. You could eliminate that piece and just have them as, you know, storage rooms initially, but you know that they're designed to become dorm rooms when you need them.
Yeah, I think
that's certainly
furnish the 8 we need, and then
yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Now, let me ask this: is the 2 guys on nights are awake, right? Is there two guys sleeping during that night?
The night, yes.
Okay, so there's always 2 people sleeping,
right?
You know, separate. They're not sleep 12 hours probably. But.
Two females.
So there's 4 people all the time out there.
Oh, 2.
Yeah.
2.
Yeah. There's always
2. Okay, so there's not 2. There's not 2 people sleeping in the dorm on there when they go off.
They're night shift.
All night.
Yeah, we change shifts at 7 in the morning to 7 in the morning.
I understand.
So the 2 guys at night go home at 7, and 2 guys in the day. So there's always 2 there. They never overlap. Is that what you're asking?
No.
Oh.
So there's nobody sleeping out there then?
Yes.
Yes.
Every night.
They're on 24-hour shifts.
No, I understand that. I've worked 24-hour shifts. I understand 24-hour shifts. But so they're not out there. The people that are off aren't there anymore.
No.
Okay. So
the off-duty people are not there.
And the people that are there are sleeping while there's nothing.
Yeah, I got you.
They're not on there.
Okay. Well,
hopefully not there.
At the plant, they aren't supposed to sleep.
Right.
Right. Yeah,
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, they're not supposed to sleep.
The reason we did that, the reason we have now, we have 2 bedrooms with 4 beds, and 8 people are sharing it, 2 bedrooms and 4 beds. And until you've done that, it's quite a pain to, every time you come on to do this. So that's why we come up with this design. Basically gives everybody their own bed and their own room, you know, for right now we have 8, and hopefully in the near future we expand that number, you know, so we're going to need the room if we go that route. And even if we don't go that route, you know, I think it's still necessary for everybody to have their own bed and their own room.
So what kind of expansion are you, like, thinking of or anticipating?
Well, what I'd like to say is at least hire 1 more per shift, you know, to give us 4 extra. 4 new hires, 4 new firefighters,
so
3 per shift.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, and he's talking about an expansion of staff, not
staff.
Of the building.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my question.
Who knows what happens 10 years from now? You know, we may need to expand more, but you know, it's kind of need to do it now.
Let's just quit having fires.
I'm in favor of that. So I heard a point about number of female staff.
There's two.
Yes. So the restrooms and shower rooms, as you can see, are for individuals. It's not a community type where there's multiple stalls or multiple lavatories or showers. So there's privacy. That's to accommodate the female and male staff.
Can't see it too well. Is there still a restroom off the lobby there?
There's a restroom right here off the chief's office, yes.
Where's that fire?
Tell me the square footage again, the original versus now. You said plus 200?
Yes, so there's about 200 square foot difference. Originally, we were about 8,300 square feet, and we're about 8,500 right now.
And that doesn't include the additional work equipment?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Oh, it does.
Okay. So that's where that came in at.
Okay. What about the covered patio in the back?
Covered patio is right here. That's also included in the cost. And then there's a small fenced yard right there. So on the site plan, that's right here.
And that was always there to start off with?
Yes. Yeah, again, it probably didn't extend past the training room originally on the master plan, but with the addition of the dorm rooms right here, it pushed it up a little bit, but we still had room to fit it in before we hit the parking lot, so.
And the fire trucks go out either side?
They are capable of going any direction. So he can back them all in like this where they exit either side, or you can do it as a drive-through where they all exit one direction. And so there's a lot of flexibility there. And the design right now for the exhaust evacuation system is not to do a hosed system, but to do an evac fan that allows us that flexibility in here so that the vehicles don't have to worry about what side of the vehicle the exhaust is coming out, and do we have the hose on the right side? Because if they're backed in versus all driving through one direction, where that hose needs to go changes. Okay. So with a fan, we can evacuate the gases and allow them to park and exit or enter any way they want to go. And it's actually a little less expensive to do the fan versus the hose.
Is that an ordinance or is that? I'm just wondering why they'd be running in the building.
It's simply as they're backing in or exiting, there's going to be exhaust gas in there, and the code requires us to exhaust it. So, yeah, it's just code driven.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
Anything that y'all want to change or any modifications or anything? All right. Can we get a copy of that?
Sure, absolutely.
Can you go over the time frame again?
Absolutely. Time frame.
From this point forward, what's our next step?
Sure. With your approval today, we're going to enter into the construction document part of the phase. We're going to take about 5 to 6 weeks to complete the construction documents. That will allow us to then advertise and bid the project and start construction hopefully in September. That's the proposed timeline at this point. By doing that, we allow some of that budgeted construction money to be used this fiscal year. Then all of the fiscal year 2017-18 will still be under construction, and then we'll roll into fiscal year 18-19 to finish the project approximately November of 2018. So the original intent was you would fund it over 3 fiscal years, and that's how we're going to do it. That's exactly what we did with the police station, and that seemed to work pretty well. So we're just going to do that same thing with the fire department. So we'll start in September of this year and finish in November of next year, but roll over 3 fiscal years.
So how and where do the dollars actually come from?
Well, your third of it's in reserves.
Can we see it? Probably need a copy of the spending schedule, construction schedule, estimate of what dollars are going in each fiscal budget.
We can prepare that, sure. Yeah, it'll be estimated, because obviously the contractor has a little more control over when he's going to be doing things and how he'll draw, but we'll come up with an estimated what we think it will take.
So if you already know the cost, how do you bid it out and get an accurate number? I mean,
well,
is it a sealed bid process? Or?
What we would propose is a competitive sealed proposal that allows you to score each of the proposer's cost, his time frame to make sure he's going to be able to do it the way we want it done. You can look at the major subcontractors list. You can look at the resumes of the superintendents. You can score all of those and basically select the best value for the city. And that adds a little bit of competitiveness into it, that the contractors know they're going to get scored versus just whoever's low bid. That's a hard bid. That's what we call a low bid, is a hard bid. The competitive sealed proposal, you have the opportunity to judge a few more things. So if they have A-list subcontractors, but the other guy who's maybe cheaper is using C-list, you may not want that. You may want to choose the guy whose cost is a little bit higher, but he's got the right contractors on there that you want to use. That's where that advantage comes in for best value for the city. So that's what we would propose to do, is do a competitive sealed proposal. Because of the size of this building and the construction type, we're probably only looking at about a 3-week bid time. So it's a short window to get bids in. The market right now, you should have a pretty competitive market. People are looking for work. There's lots of contractors that I think will be interested in this project. So we should have probably, I'm hoping, 3, 4, 5 bids maybe. And that'll give a pretty good idea of where we want to be.
Those are brought back to us, or mm-hmm. do they?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, what we would do is we'll work with the city to develop.
I don't know if they decided that or no.
Who is the contractor for the police department?
We had Farr and Company, yes.
You think they will be part of the?
I think they will absolutely be interested in this one. And my guess would be they're going to be extremely competitive. Yeah. They'll want this.
Maybe they can throw in the additional workout.
Now, from May 11th estimate was $2.76 million. What drove the $100,000 less?
It was simply us working on the design, making some decisions about moving things, eliminating things, what materials we were going to do. So, you know, during the design process, the early stages we're kind of ballparking based on square footage. So some of those numbers get inflated because we want to be conservative. We don't want to be the low bidder and say, oh, it's only going to cost $1 million when it's really going to cost more than that. So we tend to be a little more conservative. As we go through the design process and we make decisions with the chief about what it's going to look like, what kind of materials we're going to use, and we massage the design, square footage, the shape of the building and things like that, we get a better handle on the numbers. So the process we did this month, which was really just this week, we went through and did a fairly detailed breakdown, division by division, of what materials we're going to have, what the quantities of those materials are going to be, to get to the number we are at today, which is about $4,000 over what originally we thought it was going to cost.
So how much contingency is in this number?
We have a 15% contingency in it right now. Is it 15?
10.
I'm sorry, 10% contingency. So you've got $265,000 of contingency. So if that money's not spent, it's money that's not spent.
Okay, and so what about expenditures, or do we have budgeted for furniture and fixtures?
We'll say, does these costs include furniture and fixtures?
I don't believe we've got furnishings and fixtures in there. So there's the potential you can relocate what you have now and then purchase what you need as additional, since the chief has 4 beds and needs 8 or wants 8. You may have some dorm room stuff that you need to buy. There'll probably be some new tables and chairs and things like that you may need, but there's not a lot of furnishings to go into the fire station, honestly. But that is not included in this estimate.
So are you anticipating getting all new furniture then, or no?
I think we can basically reuse pretty much what we have now. We may have to buy a few things, but I think most of our stuff we can just move over to the new building.
What kind of age do you have on this stuff, though?
Well, it's all 10 plus years, so there might be some stuff we may want to replace.
We've got some beds out from West Texas, I said, you know.
$260
Too soon.
Yeah. Picnic tables, we got the fence for the back patio over there.
That could be a fire department out there.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
Well, one thing I'd like to see is those people, what they're doing, they have good beds. I don't really care about tables and chairs, but I'd like for them to have good beds.
Is there a cost estimate? I mean, it's a dumb question. Per square footage of furniture, or is it nothing in there that you can use to do that?
Well, I can give you a gut level feel just based on the fire stations that we've done. For a fire station of approximately this size, the cost is generally between $120,000 and $170,000 to completely furnish it. That would be everything brand new. Dishes, you know, all the kitchenwares, the beds, the tables, the chairs, everything to furnish that and equip it, that's roughly the cost.
Okay. And that's gonna be a budgeted item.
Okay. Anything else?
We didn't take any action on here, Bill, or just?
All we would like to know from y'all today is if this is okay to proceed into construction documents. If there's something we need to address and change, we're happy to do that. If this is okay and you think the direction is good and there's maybe some minor comments that you have, that's great. But we'd really like to stay on schedule and just go ahead and jump into construction documents. So that's what we're looking for today.
Make a motion that we proceed with the plans as presented to us today.
You have a second?
Second.
You have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate y'all. We will now go into executive session. And according to section 551.072, the deliberation regarding real property, it is 8:20.